All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 49 in this ancient history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are in our test week, and so you have, I hope, received the test preparation sheets. They were sent by email, and they were also posted to the class webpage. So I hope everybody had a chance to access those. And of course, you have two more full days to work on that. Tomorrow is History Through Art. Today is our last exercise that I anticipate anyway. I might be surprised and find something else, but I don't think so. I think this is our last exercise related to the rise of Athenian democracy in preparation for the what is essentially going to be a rewrite. Not a rewrite in the sense of that everybody did a bad job and has to redo it. It's not that kind of rewrite, but it is a new effort designed around the theme that we've been discussing to show how it's quite noticeably different when you have a clear grasp of causation in a story. So you've handed in, you've done this analysis of your own writing. And probably it came out similarly to Patrick's. Patrick and I did the analysis of his narrative submission, and he had about an even mix of narration and causation and chronology, but actually causation was the least common one in terms of being able to draw a connection between the facts. Chronology was the most common. That is no surprise to me. It's because it's the simplest. And it's a nice, comfortable type of transition for everybody to say, one thing happened, then another. In the beginning, one other thing happened. Finally, another thing happened. So this is a good and normal kind of thing. The beginning of your understanding of connections between things is always going to be chronological. So that's good. But then there were times when there's missing causation links in Patrick's writing, and I know for a fact from having read yours, the ones that you initially submitted, that it's the same thing for you guys. So our goal today is to, as a team here, actually identify the causation in this story. So you'll notice that this document that you have in front of you here is the same as the one you did for your homework, except it doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you an option to fill in whether it's chronology, causation, or narration, right? It doesn't say, go find it and then write it down and tell me what kind it is. Instead, it says, here's the facts, here are the facts, there are six. And now it is very simple. It is, as a group, what we are going to do is we are going to identify and write down what the causation is. Or the expression I'm using here is causation as an adjective might be causal or causative connection. What is the causative connection between this fact and this fact? What is the causation between this fact and this fact? What is the causal link between this fact and this fact? And so, okay, we are going to do that as a team so that we all know it. Even if there was one that was shaky before, we're going to know it now. And then your final assignment in this, with regard to this story, is going to be to write the narration. We're using entirely causal connections, all of them, the ones that we identify today. Even if you had some of the causal connections before, I'm sure there was nobody that had them all. So now we're going to rewrite it, and it's going to be entirely in terms of causation. So let's start. We've got five of them to do. Right? We've got five of them to do. And some of them are easier than others. So I think that, well, you guys can choose or I'll choose. I'll give you guys first dibs here in terms of choosing one causation link that you already know and that you're excited about and you want to show that you know it, or you can let me do it. We won't really do them in order because some of them are harder than some of the others. So I'm tempted to kind of just do them in whatever order you want to do them. So let's see then what you guys have. Any one of these that you want to tell me that you know the causation, that you had it before and that you want to show that you know it. What do you guys think? Or are you going to leave it up to me? Looks like you guys don't want to jump out there and tell me in front. Okay, well, maybe Wyatt wants to say one. Go ahead, sir.
Pisistratus became the Tyrannos of Athens to give the commoners more land after 50 years. So the causation in it is that it tells us why he became the Tyrannos.
Okay, good. I was thinking that we might start there because I thought that was one that most of us have pretty much done well with. So thank you for bringing that up, Wyatt. So Wyatt said, Pisistratus became a Tyrannos because he gave the people more land. Okay, well, is that a link between Pisistratus and the aristocrats? Or is that a link between Solon and Pisistratus? Which one is that, Wyatt?
No, that's not a link between Pisistratus and Solon ended that slavery. It is a link between the aristocrats came back to power with the home of Sparta.
Alright, that's interesting. Okay, so
the first part is wrapping up Pisistratus became the Tyrannos of Athens. And the second part, after 50 years, is telling us that something else happened. It didn't end.
Okay, nice. All right, but actually, that's not quite right. So, this is a really good example. Because what has happened with regard to this one is people have written, Pisistratus became the tyrant of Athens to give the people more land. Now, since that comes after this basic fact, it feels like it's a connection to this, but it's not. It's not. It is. Well, actually, it is. It is. But actually, the more important is to understand, because it's both, actually. The most important thing is to understand that it's a connection back to this. And that's what's missing in your writing so far as I could tell. Everybody had from our previous discussion the idea that Pisistratus gave the people land. Okay, well, actually, that is connected to this. How are the two connected in terms of causation? This is what we need to identify. How did Solon lead to Pisistratus? Pisistratus gave the people land. Well, is that connected to Solon? Oh, you bet it is. How is it connected to Solon? We know that Solon ended debt slavery. So why wasn't everybody happy? Patrick?
Because the commoners wanted more land to grow more food. Because before, even though they had a choice to become slaves, but even though they hated it, it might have been a little bit of a better way not to end that slavery because then you'd end up dying instead.
Okay, this is exactly right. Excellent. So the point is, Solon ended debt slavery, but he did not give the commoners more land. So in the end, I got to get this out of the way here. So in the end, they still could not grow enough food. Aha! This is what Patrick just helped us to see here. Okay, sorry, that's going to jump around a bit as I enter this or that. All right, so maybe I should just put that text over on the side rather than... I think I'm going to put all of this text... how do I do it? Over on... wait a minute. I apologize. I should know how to do this. There it is. Okay, I'm going to put it all over there so it's... easier to spit. All right, so see, this is excellent. So, Pisistratus gave the commoners more land and thus became the Tyrannos. Okay, so actually, what we need here is that transition we had before. Pisistratus promised the people more land. So, they wanted him to be the Tyrannos. Okay, that's really crucial. That is the transition. Solon didn't give people land. They wanted more land. Pisistratus promised it to them. So they made him the Tyrannos. Okay, now why it is correct. He made a good point that he became the Tyrannos and gave the people the land they wanted. But now we need more of a transition. We're not done with our transition. How does this lead to number 5, everybody? What did it do? We're not there yet, right? Pisistratus gave the people more land, which they wanted, and then the aristocrats came back to power. What? Now, you see how we just took a big leap and we don't have a very good connection there? We need the connection. So how do we get it back? Opal.
The aristocrats were mad that the land was taken away and they really wanted to come back, you know. Yeah. So they tried to become back in the power.
Right. This angered the aristocrats, right? Who were exiled, some of whom were exiled from Athens. Okay, good. So the anger of the aristocrats is the next part. I don't know if I have enough room on my screen for all of this. I think I'm making a little bit of a mistake. Let me adjust the size of this so I don't have to bounce back and forth on my screen. Okay, so Pisistratus became the Tyrannos of Athens and gave the people the land they wanted. This angered the aristocrats, some of whom were exiled from Athens. Are we done yet? Do we have our transition? I think it would be great if we had a little bit more, I think. Don't you? What do we need here? For the aristocrats came back to power with the help of Sparta. It's getting pretty close, but maybe it needs to be a little bit smoother. Rosetta?
Well, they did, they had to basically ask. They didn't ask Sparta to join them. They sort of, they went to the Oracle Delphi and bribed her into her promising that spot to say that.
Yeah, so right. So that's right. So you know the connection. That's kind of like the next part of the narrative is to say, well, how then did they go get that help? Right? Because they're exiled from Athens, and so they went to the Oracle at Delphi and convinced her to get them Sparta's help. All right, I'm being a little, that's a little bit perhaps, not necessarily as beautiful a wording as we could get, but this is kind of this is the story, right? This is both the causation and the narration here. They went to the Oracle and convinced her to get them Sparta's help. Or they convinced her to help, to what? Maybe, could anybody help me get a better wording for that? Because as storytellers, we want to use the best wording that we can do. Could we improve the wording, Patrick?
And it convinced them to get help from Sparta's warriors because they took most of it seriously.
Yes, right. Now, so they went to Oracle. Now, those are true thoughts, but do they belong in this statement? I'm looking for a little bit better grammar is what I'm looking for. Right? Just a better wording. Henry Wyatt? Yes.
Instead of convinced, bribed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bribed is good. Yeah, you're right. It is more technically correct. And bribed her to convince the Spartans to help them. There we go. To bribe her to convince the Spartans to help them take back the city. Ooh, wow. We're going to have a beautiful narration when we're done putting these things together. Right? Okay, good. Okay, so that's what we needed there, right? In order to go from Pisistratus to this story, we have to understand, well, the aristocrats are angry. That's crucial, right? They're gone, they're angry. They go and get Sparta's help. Okay, good. So now we have two causal connections. I guess we should just go and finish up here with this, and then we'll go back to the beginning and fill in the causal background here. Okay, so let's look at these two facts right here, and let's decide how do we connect them. The aristocrats came back to power with the help of Sparta. Okay, and Patrick told me I needed a period there. Thank you. Okay, and so, and then what Patrick wrote, which is a perfectly good chronological connection, right, is he wrote, then a new leader named Cleisthenes convinced the aristocrats to share power, and he invented democracy circa 508 BC. So then a new leader, okay, convinced the aristocrats to share power. So that's chronology and a little bit of narration, but it's not causation. So what do we do here, folks? We gotta take it to the next level. What's the causation here? Ooh, this is a tricky one. And it's in your class notes and we've discussed it. But so this is what we need to grasp. How do we connect these? Is it just that one thing happened after the other? Why did this actually... we might have to wait until we know the whole story before we can answer. Because Cleisthenes did this because of all of this. What he was saying to the Athenians was, we need to do better. If we keep living this way, we'll never get anywhere. We're going to be stuck on what? What's that level that Mr. Powell calls it? When you're just not making any progress and you're at the same spot as the Egyptians are for 3,000 years, Julia?
The plateau.
The archaic plateau, right? I mean, nobody at the time would have known that that's where they were stuck, right? But what they would have said was, we are stuck, right? They would have felt stuck. Had they been observant, and Cleisthenes is an observant and thoughtful person, he's looking at the situation and he's saying, this way of life isn't good enough. If we keep doing things the same way, we'll always be in a cycle of violence. The cycle goes... Can anybody say what the steps of the cycle are? Let's say we start... We're done with monarchy. Let's say we start with aristocracy. How does aristocracy... What's the next step after aristocracy? We're going to have to go back and fill this in. What happens, Opal?
Tyranny?
Well, yes, but... Okay, yeah. Aristocracy is mean. It's brutal. Somehow it's unfair. And that leads to tyranny. Right. And then, well, is tyranny fair? What happens, Sigourney?
The people rebel.
Well, that's how you get the tyranny. Okay, but then the tyranny is unfair, and then what happens? Who's it unfair to? Which is what we have at step 5, and then the whole transition there. Who's it unfair to, Opal?
The aristocrats.
They
try to make it into an aristocracy again.
Exactly. Okay, and then it's back and forth. It's a cycle. It's a cyclical kind of history. It's always the same thing over and over and over again. Right? So, if that's all you've got, you're going to be stuck there forever, and you're never going to make any progress. And so Cleisthenes is coming forward and he's saying, we got to stop this. We have to do a better job of working together. Okay, and so he says, well, then a new leader named Cleisthenes. Okay, what did he do? I just said it, but now let's see if you guys can make the transition. Well, the point is that Cleisthenes understood that going back and forth from aristocracy to... You said it. Who was it that said it? Rosetta or Opal? Opal?
Tyranny.
Okay, back and forth. Aristocracy to tyranny was never going to solve Athens' problems. Okay, so a new leader. Go ahead, Patrick.
Then a new leader came named Cleisthenes, who said that this would just continue on as a cycle.
Right.
From aristocracy to tyranny. So he convinced the aristocrats to share power, and he invented democracy.
Going back and forth between aristocracy and tyranny would... mean Athens would make would never have any progress. We got to fix this. I mean Athens would not have any progress. Okay, let's fix that up. Somebody, you know how we do it in art class, right? We have to do it the same way here. Mr. Powell came up with Patrick's help and Opal's help came up with us with a transition, but it's not that nice. Let's see if we can improve it. Then a new leader named Cleisthenes understood that going back and forth between aristocracy and tyranny. Not have any progress.
So, Cleisthenes.
Yeah. So, now, then you're going to have to put this here. So, he convinced the aristocrats to share power and invented democracy, right? So, you got to be careful about not repeating this part here, right? But anyway, we already got him up here. All right. Well, you know, it's pretty good wording. And I tell you what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to give you guys the outcome of our conversation here, and then I'm going to ask you to try to do it in your own words. Okay? So not just to copy this, but rather to do it in your own words later. So that will be the challenge. All right, let's go then and figure out the background story. In the beginning, Athens had a monarchy. Then the Eupatrids made Athens into an aristocracy, right? I mean, that is just the standard quick answer, right, to how things went. Then, okay, yeah, then the Eupatrids made Athens into an aristocracy. Well, let's talk about the causation. What is the cause? How does number one cause number two? Patrick, what's your guess?
Can I use my example of it?
Well, you don't have causation in yours. You don't have causation, so I want causation. Yours has got chronology and narration, which is nice. Okay? Now, Patrick has... Now, by the way, you guys have narration in yours, which is very good. When Patrick wrote his, he said, monarchy is a government where one person rules. Right? So, that's good. You need that. So, don't lose that. Just because you're adding causation. That can actually help you to identify the causation. Monarchy is a form of government where one person rules. Okay? Then so why do we get number two if one person rules? It's not that big of a puzzle. How do we go from one to two? It's really only one puzzle piece in between them. Got one person ruling, the other people, what? The other people were perfectly happy, and therefore they never changed it. What is it? What is it? What's the real answer? Sigourney.
Other people wanted power too.
Exactly. Okay, but the aristocracy, called Eupatrids, or let's say the Eupatrids aristocracy wanted a share of that power. Okay. And then, okay, down here, we could add to it, right? They forced the king's to accept a 10-year and then only a 1-year term and force them to share power with the other aristocratic families. Beautiful. Okay. Not necessarily the perfect text, but we don't have time for the perfect text. But there we go. Okay. So now we get it. The Eupatrids wanted a share of power. All we need is one more thing. So the Eupatrids made Athens into an aristocracy. Right here, what we would write is, this made Athens into an aristocracy. Okay, so how do we go from number 2 to number 3 with causation? Patrick, go ahead.
Okay. So, but the commoners needed more land at that moment, so they shared with the Eupatrids. But if they could not pay the debt back, then they got debt slavery and had to become a slave.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. In this aristocracy, commoners who could not grow enough food could become debt slaves. Mm-hmm. By borrowing money from the Eupatrids. Wait a minute. If they could not pay back money borrowed from the Eupatrids. Wow. Okay, good. In this aristocracy, commoners who could not grow enough food could become debt slaves if they could... Oh, wait a minute. Became. Sorry, it's jumpy, but you know, you guys know this, right? When you're writing, it's always a little bit messy and you got to edit it all the time, right? You got to fix it. Oh, wait a minute, I need a comma or I need another word or something like that, right? So, in this aristocracy, commoners who could not grow enough food became debt slaves. If they could not pay back more money borrowed from the Eupatrids. Okay, that's my sentence. You might like to... I'm going to ask you to rewrite it in your own words, right? Was a harsh system, and the commoners threatened to rebel. So long ended that slavery. Maybe we could do a little bit better? Who's got that last little piece of the puzzle? Patrick?
So then Solon said that they should end debt slavery?
Not quite. No, that's really pretty much what's there. So what happened? Where did this guy come from? We need some narration here, folks. Where did this guy come from? You know how Patrick did it down here? He said, then a new leader named Cleisthenes came along, right? Whenever somebody shows up that wasn't in the story before, you got to do something to introduce people to them, right? So where's this guy Solon come from in our story? So, what happened? Where does he come from? Comes from somewhere in our story here, Patrick. Go ahead.
So a new person came to help us named...
Well, all right, I get your point, but that's not good enough. Mm. That's on the right track, right? So a new, okay, leader. That's kind of like what we had down below. So a new leader was chosen to solve the problem. Aristocrat named Solon was chosen to resolve this problem. There we go. Now we've got him. This is a fantastic collection of, I'm going to put it all on one page and then send it to you guys. Fantastic collection of causal links between the facts. No wonder you guys didn't put all these down. They're kind of complicated, aren't they? Right? When history is thought of in terms of causes, it's not simple. It's not that quick and easy, right? And it takes a pretty good amount of effort. You guys had to put your brain power into this here with me as a team in order to get this down, didn't we? So this is the challenge, to take our knowledge to this level. This is as good as it gets here, so you know there's no more to be done. So if you're thinking to yourself, oh, that was a lot, or oh, that's tough, or some of that I don't quite understand, that's okay. Right? I mean, this is the top here. This is the top of the mountain that we needed to get to. So we're here, and now, and Patrick's excited about that. Yeah, we made it to the top. Okay. So now all we got to do is write it in our own words. Back and forth, okay? And it's going to end up being longer than the one that you had before, but it's going to work really, really nicely. So how long am I going to give you to do that? Well, because you have a test coming up, I don't want you guys to have a conflict, too great of a conflict in terms of what your priorities are. So I don't want to assign this just yet. I want to assign this probably starting next Monday. So don't go and do this. This is my last message for today. Do not go and write this paragraph instead of test prep. Don't do that. Okay? Wait. Do test prep this week. Do the test prep and do the test this week. That is your priority. Then when you come back and we are ready to move into the next chapter of history, we're going to keep working this particular theme because it's an anchor story. Wow, you know that we have anchor facts. But this is an anchor fact narrative. This is an anchor fact story. In order to understand history, you have to know this story. Not just the fact of democracy in 508 BC. You have to know the story of it. So that's the next level for you, for everybody here. It's a good challenge, but you guys are up to it. Okay, thank you everybody. That was a good discussion. We came up with this stuff together, so I feel pretty good about it. If, when you come back to it, and it feels pretty shaky, then of course, you'll have to ask questions. You'll have to say, I don't really get this part or that, or what have you. But when you're writing it, you'll get a chance to test yourself on that. But that'll be next week. Okay? So don't worry about it now. I'm going to take this and I'm going to post it to the class webpage as our accomplishment. But you don't have any homework on this just yet. Okay? Good. Last thoughts? Patrick?
Great lecture.
Great work. Well, it was great because you guys are ready. You guys are doing good work here. So thank you. Thank you for making it great. Okay. All right, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.